Hallelujah. Friends, we serve a miracle working God who has no respecter of persons. And if you need a miracle in your life, you can have one tonight. So good to have the Olivers here, world travel evangelists. Aren't they always a blessing to us? Hallelujah. Sister Oliver speaking this morning, she said something that just, I guess, struck a nerve with me because I was through it recently. She said, "You are not promised tomorrow." She was talking about that. And I remember just a few weeks ago, September 11th, I was a normal, healthy 42-year-old, work out multiple times a week, watch what I eat, good cholesterol, good triglycerides, healthy, fine. Walking back to the line of scrimmage in a football game. Next thing I know, I'm waking up, somebody pushing on my chest, and I'm thinking, man, I wish they'd get off me, that hurts. And they told me I've been dead for 20, 25 minutes. I don't even remember going down. You don't know. You may not have tomorrow. Let's make it right tonight. You got an opportunity tonight. Brother Oliver, come, let's let God have his way. Hallelujah.
Let's give that hand clap of praise to Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful service. God is so good. He is so good. And that's correct. We'd never know when our last breath is going to be. And the Lord can restore. The Lord can heal. The Lord can even bring back from the dead. I've heard many cases of it. But we never know when our last breath is going to be. We played a game this morning. We had some fun with it. It was fun. And life should be happy. Life should have its times where we have fun. But one thing I want to tell you, it's not all fun and games. And the thing that we take as making us happy sometimes will be very disappointing in life if that's all you're putting your life into. I need to tell you something, because we are from Columbus, Ohio. Pastor Grant, churches in Ohio were full this morning. They were full, crying out to the Lord. Why? 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 I'm sure even many of them said, "God, I thought you were a Buckeye fan." But you know, when you play that game and when you put your stock into those kind of things, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. And it's not going to be your favorite team that wins all the time. And if that's what makes you happy, and that's the only thing that makes you happy, to tell you the truth, you got problems. And if that's what makes you upset when your favorite team loses, you got problems. The main thing still needs to be the main thing. Jesus is worthy to be praised. And Jesus is the one that we need to be happy about and happy with, because he will make your life. He will make your life. This life is not a game. It's very, very serious. And the choices that you make will determine where you spend eternity. And, you know, just like a lot of people might have said, I said it in jest, "I thought you were a Buckeye fan, God." A lot of people think a lot of things that are not true. God is not a Buckeye fan, and I hate to inform you, but he's not a Badger fan either. Okay? But what he is a people fan. He loves you. He loves you so much. And the only thing that disappoints him is when you don't love him back. Because if you don't love him back, you're not going to spend eternity in heaven. If you make other things priority in your life and let them control your life, you're headed down the wrong road. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because everybody's here. But let me tell you something else. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're going to have a place in heaven. It's what you do, what you stand for, and who your God is, and do you know that? So tonight, let's not play any more games. It's time that we really need to get serious with our lives. If you're not doing what's going to get you to heaven, you really have to start doing that. And, you know, in this life, the world tells you, just do whatever feels good. That is not right. And when you get to heaven and you say, I thought I could do whatever I wanted to do if it felt good, Jesus is going to say, doesn't work that way. And you know what? In your heart, you knew it didn't work that way. See, that's the problem. A lot of times we try to use our logic to figure out how our salvation should be. That's not what the Bible says to do. It says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I want you to think about something just for a minute, because I said this is serious. Everything that you do, do you think about it and work on it? And are you afraid that you may not be making the right choice when you make that choice? A lot of times it's not that way. A lot of times we just do. A lot of times it's just easier to do. But if you walk close with Jesus, then the things that you do will be things that please him, because you'll want to please him. And you know, this is all getting around to the four steps of worship. Because when you pray, when you talk to Jesus, your decisions are easy. Don't talk and say, I want, I want, I want, I want. But talk and say, Jesus, I love you. And I want to please you and only you. Because even if you have another 50 years on this earth, it's going to go just like that. I know a lot of people are shaking their heads because it just seems like yesterday, like I was 16. I'm not quite 16 anymore. But I know a God that never ages. And I know he wants me to be with him. And more than anything, that's the desire of my heart. And that's what he wants for you tonight. So when we do these four steps of worship tonight, we've made an effort to be here at church tonight. And I commend you for that. Because that is a great step to being close to Jesus. Getting yourself to church, saying, I want to do right. But now the harder step comes. Because the devil will tell you, just sit and relax. If you feel Jesus, you'll feel him. It'll come automatically. Well, you know, there's not too many things that come automatically anymore. Or never have. Except for maybe aging. I'm a witness to that. But tonight, Jesus wants you to make an effort. And whatever effort you give, he will multiply that in blessings to you, in things that will be enjoyable to you. So tonight, I implore you to think about what is really important, and it's where you will spend eternity. And it's going to get there real quick for a lot of us. Some of us, it'll be a little bit slower, but you know what? It's still going to get there. And the older I get and the more aches and pains that I get, and I see myself reaching eternity faster and faster, it even sort of puts a smile on my face, knowing that I am where I need to be, knowing that I have a Jesus that loves me so much that one of these days he's going to take this old, broken down, pain-filled body and give me a body that could just fly through the sky. And no more pain, no more sickness, no more troubles. God is so good. Now's your chance to know him in a better way than you ever have. And the way to do that is just to give it your best. I'm going to let you sit tonight and be comfortable as we do these four steps of worship. But I ask you to do these with all of your heart. If you have a need tonight, it can be fulfilled through the power of Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is ask him. You got aches and pains in your body? You can be healed. You have sickness and disease? You can be healed. You have financial problems? Jesus can help you with that and fix that. Anything you have, Jesus can help you with. But he's waiting on you to ask. He's waiting on you to talk to him. So let's do these four steps of worship tonight with all of our heart. The very first step is so easy, and that's just to close your eyes. Now, I'm not going to look at you tonight. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I have to look at myself and say, yes, you just said that you're ready to go to heaven, and I want to look at every area of my life. So I'm closing my eyes, and I'm going to be very honest with myself tonight. Do you pray enough? Do you love people enough? Do you do the things that the Bible says enough? Are you submitted to your pastor? Do you pay tithes? Are you making the best effort that you possibly can? Because I don't know about you, but I think that's what Jesus is looking for. And I believe with all my heart, that's how we're really going to be judged when we get to heaven. Jesus is going to say, well, you know, this was more important to you than me. And I don't want him to say to me, depart from me, for I knew you not. You were too busy doing other things and too busy thinking about other things and too busy trying to interpret what you thought things should be, when all you had to do was trust my word and trust my guidance. So tonight, with your eyes closed, I just want you to take a look at yourself. Because life is not a game. This life is not everything that there is that's going to happen to you. Jesus, one of these days, is going to split the skies. And he's going to come back for his people. And all of a sudden, gravity is not going to be able to hold you down if Jesus is ready to take you to heaven. And your life is going to change so drastically for the better. But if for some reason you've made things too important on this earth, if for some reason you've said, I don't know if I have to do that, then when Jesus comes and the church is raptured, there's a very good possibility that you will not be taken up. So I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm not looking at you. But But I want you to be honest tonight. I want you to think about how you're really doing. So this brings us to the second step in the steps of worship, where we lift our face to heaven. And if you're doing bad, maybe you're having a hard time lifting your face because you're hanging your head in shame. But Jesus, He doesn't want you to be ashamed. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to call you names. The only thing He's going to do is encourage you to do what's right. So you don't have to hang your head in shame. The devil is the one that wants to tell you you're not good enough. He's the one that wants to tell you that you'll never make it, that you're not strong enough. You're not even smart enough. But Jesus is saying to you, please lift your face, because I love you. I'd do anything for you. I'd even die on the cross again if it would make a difference. But His blood only had to be shed once. And He died for each and every one of us. The third step in the steps of worship is also very easy. And that's to raise both of your hands to Jesus. To reach out to Him. Because Jesus raised His hands for you 2,000 years ago on a cross. An old wooden cross. And you think you've got things tough now. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was living in a time with no air conditioning, no comforts like we have. And He was arrested for no reason at all. And He was tried and convicted, and He was crucified. A man who had never done anything wrong. So when He raised His hands, He felt those big long nails that they pounded into His hands. But He said, that's okay, because this is for you. Every drop of blood that I shed is for you. I love you so much. I love you so much. And the fourth step, this is where you really make it right tonight and decide that this isn't a game. This is really life. When you talk to Jesus and that you're honest with Jesus as you should be honest with yourself. So let's talk to Jesus for just a few minutes. It doesn't take long to get on the right side of Jesus. I love you, Jesus, and I praise your name. I ask you, Lord, to help me to search my soul tonight, Lord, because I want to be right with you, Jesus. I cried tears for you, Lord, because I saw the testimonies of these kids tonight. And I know, God, that they come from their hearts, Jesus. Oh, the miracles that you've done for them, Lord. But I know, God, that you have done many miracles, Jesus, that we all could attest to, Lord, in each and every one of our lives. Jesus, help us tonight, Lord, to reach out to you. Help us, Lord, to drop the walls that we have put up, Jesus. Oh, God, that we can reach the throne of God, that we can call on your name, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus, with all my heart. And my priority is to be with you in heaven, Jesus. Oh, God, lead me and guide me, Jesus. Don't ever, Lord, let me fall and not get back up. Oh, help me, Lord, in the good times and in the bad times, Jesus, that I would have a song in my heart and worship upon my lips for you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I praise your name. How good you are to me, Lord. How good you are to all of us, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down, but I want you to keep your eyes closed just for a minute. I want you to think really about how good Jesus is and how much He loves you. Isn't Jesus great? Isn't He wonderful? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Kalashanamata Sarama. Nelanamakarama. I just want to ask you to do one more thing with your eyes closed. I just want you to say over and over and over again, thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
my Lord.
Thank you, Brother Oliver, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. It's really important that when we come to church, we remember why we have come. It's easy for it to become a social time because we enjoy being with one another so much. It's easy for it to become a time that we're entertained because this is a church that has great music and great preaching, and it can become entertaining to us. But we didn't come just to look on tonight, just to be entertained or just to see our friends. But we came to meet Jesus here and to leave here different than when we came. And however he wants to accomplish that, that's what we want to do. Now, most of you know Brother and Sister Oliver from the many years that we have been coming here. I tried to think back this morning how long it has been. Brother Grant, I believe that this is 16 years. Rachel is in her 20s and she was 5 the first time we came here. The Grants are like family to us. There have been times in our life that we were going through very difficult things, that we passed by your way and we did what we always do. Perhaps you didn't know, but then at a table around some lunch, Brother Grant, Sister Grant have cried with us and ministered to us. And I want you to know, Brother Grant, that you have ministered to our life in ways that you could never know. You are very dear to us. And I want to say that publicly because, you know, when life passes on, many times we want to say things then about someone. But if you got something nice to say, it'd be a real good idea just to go ahead and say it to one another. Because like we said earlier tonight, Brother Ben said it so well, we're not promised tomorrow. So the people you love, be sure and tell them how important they are to you. This church is an awesome church. You are very blessed. If you follow these men, they will get you to heaven. You'll go there. If you will follow them, they'll get you to heaven. Now, in knowing the Olivers, usually there is something that we have sitting up here for you to look at. We do this because starting out in children's ministry, we found that to get the attention of children, it's very good to have something for them to look at. It helps them to remember. It helps keep their attention. And traveling many years in this ministry, I realize that when I look back there, I don't have to be dismayed at your faces because you are just kids in big bodies. And when the ministry evolved into family ministry and even ladies ministry, I didn't stop carrying a bunch of junk with me. Because I found out people remember if they can also see something. Tonight, I have something with me. I told you this morning, everything you would ever want to find is in the Word of God. You do not have to feast your eyes on a television set or a movie all the time, a DVD, to be entertained. If you get into the Word, you'd find that there are love stories in there, kissing stuff. You would find that in that word, there are mysteries. You would find that in the Bible, there are wonderful fishing tales. You like fishing stories. They're in there. I mean, there's hunting stories in here. There are war stories in here. And there are spooky stories in here. And I'm going to tell you a spooky story tonight. Now, I know it's October, and you can't go to the Walmart without seeing something that might scare you. Don't get so spiritual on me that you're putting your nose in the air. I know that most of you at some point have put on a mask, and you have snuck around the aisle to scare someone that's with you. Uh-huh. I see it in your eyes. It's a little tempting. We don't celebrate Halloween. The origin of Halloween is not a good thing. We have trunk or treat, where we open the trunks of our cars and give out candy. And we have a lot of things that we do instead. And I wonder if tonight this couldn't be a real I wore my orange jacket. This is an October service, a harvest service, if you will. And I'm going to tell you a spooky story. I'd like for you to turn the lights like you had them for the testimonies, which were awesome, by the way. And we're going to have the lights down just a little. Are you ready for a spooky story? I don't want anyone to get too scared tonight. It's in the Word of God. Nothing in here is ever scary. But if your neighbor needs to hold your hand, that's okay. Brother Oliver, will you bring in my prop? Sister Fiona, where did you go? Would you kind of play some spooky music for me? Don't act like you don't know how. I told you it was going to be spooky. I brought a skeleton tonight. I'd like you to first turn in your Bibles to Genesis. I see you holding each other's hands. Genesis 2 and 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." When God created Adam, he created a man from the dust. Oh, that's good. I like that. He created a man from the dust, from the dirt, and then God breathed into him. His heart started beating, blood started pumping. The bones started moving. It didn't happen until God got involved. So you start thinking you're something really special tonight, and you really got it together, and you're really cute. You remember, you're nothing but a lump of dirt. And if it weren't for God, you wouldn't be cute. You wouldn't be walking around. And if something happens to you today, and they put you in a box, this is what you're going to end up like. And that's not so cute. We call that a skeleton. Call that a skeleton. All of us have bones, 206 of them. Babies have 270. Don't ask me how they have more bones than we do. I just read it on the internet. That's a lot of bones. And we're all formed and fitly made, and God made every one of us. You didn't just get here. You didn't just come by a Big Bang theory. You didn't evolve from a little one celled amoeba that crawled up on the shore and dropped its tail and stood up and had hair. That's not how you got here. You got here because God said, "I'm going to breathe into you. I'm going to make you a living soul." Why did he create man? He created man to worship him, to love him. And so, we have a little spooky story tonight. The Bible has some spooky tales. Now, in case you're getting too scared tonight, let me ask you, do you know why the skeleton didn't cross the road? He didn't have the guts. Do you know what he ordered when he went to the restaurant? The skeleton ordered spare ribs. Can you stand one more? Do you know who won the skeleton beauty contest? Nobody. Get it? Nobody. I should have told that one first. Some of you are a little slow. Nobody. Tonight over your egg sandwich, you'll go, oh, yeah. Now, will you turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel? Sister Oliver, I thought you'd never get there. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. Here's your spooky story. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And so, you have a spooky tale right there in the Word of God. You see, Jerusalem had been taken captive by Babylon, the true church. It wasn't together. It wasn't whole. The man that we're speaking about, Ezekiel, was a preacher, a prophet. And Ezekiel was down in the dumps. I'm sure he was about as low as a man could be. History tells us that perhaps even his wife was killed in battle, and he was still grieving her loss. And so, on a normal day, on a day like today, just any other day, Ezekiel is in prayer. He's talking to God. You don't get any answers if you don't ever talk to God. But that's when you get your answers. That's when the miraculous happens. The Bible says that God carried him to a place, a valley, if you will, a field full of bones. The bones weren't together in a skeletal form. There weren't individual bodies laying, but there were bones scattered all over that valley. An arm here, a leg there, a head here. What a horrible sight. What a spooky tale when we think about a valley full of bones. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, do you see those bones? And do you think they will ever live again? Do you think they can live? He asks the question. I'm sure Ezekiel, in his grief, in his low state of mind, wanted to say, Lord, I don't think it can happen. I don't think these bones can live. I'm sure he felt so low. He wanted to confess, but there was something in him that knew we need to speak faith. You should never be so low that you lose your faith, that you stop speaking faith. If you get to that point, you need to share your burden with your brother or your sister and let them help you with your faith level, because we have to walk by faith and live in faith no matter what happens. He had lost his wife. Jerusalem was captive by the Babylonians. He was low. He was down and out. He thought it couldn't come to pass, but he wouldn't utter it from his mouth. He didn't say, "Lord, I just don't think it could ever happen." He said, "Lord, Thou knowest whether they can. You know, Lord." I like it when I hear people talk in faith. I want to have great faith for myself and for others. I like it that this weekend it was said we're going to have 100 soul revival. I like that. Nobody should feel bad about that. That's speaking faith. That's believing God for something we cannot see. Hallelujah. Well, what if you speak it and it doesn't come to pass? Let me tell you something. It will come to pass. God's plans are often different than our plans. His thinking is not the same as our thinking. I told Brother Roy today, I said, your 100 soul revival began this morning. And the Lord showed me he's going to begin to fill a lot of these boys and girls back there in the Sunday school. They're going to begin to come out on Sunday and say, we had 12 receive the Holy Ghost. We had 9 receive the Holy Ghost. And while the Lord is filling folks right here, he's going to be filling folks over there. Hallelujah. The revival began today. And by the end of the year, you will have your 100 soul revival. Boy, that was pretty weak. I'm talking about, can these bones live? Do we want to speak faith in this last hour, or do we want to let go and just let the devil finish up what he started? He's gotten so good at what he does. I've heard people say about their loved ones, you know, it's up to them. They have a choice. Perhaps they'll never come in because they have a free choice. Logically speaking, that's true. Logically speaking, that is absolutely true. But do we want to walk in the flesh or in the spirit? Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. Ezekiel didn't show great faith, but he did not show a lack of faith. He was putting it back in God's hands. He was giving God the right to do what God does best. And God said, now wait a minute. Let me tell you how to make them live. God didn't just reach down and do it all himself. God's always used man to do his work. God said, let me tell you what to do, Ezekiel. You prophesy to the bones. You prophesy to the bones. You tell those bones that they are going to live. You speak to the bones. You prophesy and pray. And I'll do the rest. Ezekiel knew he couldn't put breath and life into those bones. Only God can do that. He knew he couldn't do that. He couldn't make them live, but he was willing to do his part. Whatever God required of him, he was willing to do his part. The problem with the lack of revival in this last hour of time is we're not doing our part. God is willing to do his part. If we will speak, if we'll prophesy to the bones, to the dead, to those that are dead in sin, you're going to live again. You're coming back in, backslider. You will live. You will live. I prophesy over you. You will live. You will walk with God again. You will speak with other tongues. You will make a commitment. You will be ready for the rapture. I speak to you, old sinner. You're going to come forward and confess confess your sins, you are going to be baptized in Jesus' name. You are going to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy it. I say he's going to do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A blind faith. You want to help somebody? Stop talking to them. And talk to God about them. And better yet, prophesy. Prophesy to the devil about them. A spooky story. You said, why is it spooky? Well, wouldn't you think it was spooky if you looked down into a valley of a bunch of bones and all of a sudden the wind began to blow from all corners. All four corners, the wind began to blow. And all of a sudden those bones stood up. The legs stood up. The arms began to float. The trunk, the neck, the head. All of a sudden they began to come together. There was a crackling sound. There was a lot of noise when those bones began to hook together. The joints came together. Yeah, that's a spooky story. I wish I got to see it. I'd have been scared. I like to get scared. I'd been scared to death. That would have been the coolest thing to see what Ezekiel saw. You see, it was desolation. It was waste. It was worthless. There wasn't anything that could be done. That's when God does his best work. When there's a man laying on a ball field and he's dead and there's no hope. And all of a sudden, there's a voice. Those people weren't wailing and saying, "Oh God, he's dead." Somebody even said, I didn't want to say. His wife was asking, "Is he dead? Is he dead?" And a man of God said, I wasn't about to say he's dead. That's Ezekiel talking there. "Thou knowest, Lord. Oh, thou knowest what you have in mind, God." And when they heard the voices of those people praying, those people were saying, "You shall live. You shall live and not die. In the name of Jesus, you shall live and not die." Hallelujah. And breath came back into his body. A man that was dead. Hallelujah. Church, we got to learn how to pray in this last hour. We got to begin to prophesy. You shall live and not die. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, we're going to see the dead raised in this last hour more than we've ever seen it. We're going to see the deaf ears open. We're going to see the blind eyes open. God is not done with the church. The church is living in its greatest hour. The last final thrust of revival is what we have stepped into. We're going to walk the rest of this life with our mouths hanging open. Just like Ezekiel. Hallelujah. People we never thought would come back in are coming in. Backslidden preachers are coming back. People that we thought would never come back are running up an aisle and making things right with God. Why? Because God has chosen to breathe. Hallelujah. He's breathing in this last hour. Oh, Rabo Soto Rabaha. Hallelujah. 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 He's breathing. He's breathing. When a little old baby is born, the most important thing of all is to make sure that baby breathes. The old stories, they stop telling them because they don't do it anymore. But they did it when I was a baby because I asked my mama. As soon as I came out into the world, naked and dirty, that old mean doctor grabbed me by the ankles. And he held me upside down. And he went, whack! And I went, whack! And some of you old folks did it too. And then they decided that it traumatized us. And that's what's wrong with all of us. And so they stopped doing that. Now they use a lot of tender, loving care. But we came in a rough way. And you know what? I don't think it has anything to do with how we are. I think all that is important is that the sound comes out. That there's breath. It doesn't matter how it happens, but it sure is important that it does, that the breath comes forth. And you see, there is a symbolic thing in that. When you come to an altar and when you give your heart to Jesus, you are born again. He breathes the breath of life into you again. You are born again. He breathed into you when you were born the first time, and he's going to breathe into you when you're born the second time. How do I know when he's breathed in me? Because you're going to make a sound. All of a sudden your lip and tongue's going to wiggle and you're going to begin to say words in another language. They won't be real clear because you're just a baby. Yeah, you're just a baby. They won't be real clear. It's like my little grandbaby. My little Vanessa's just started talking. She didn't talk for a long time. She had a lot of things to say, but she didn't say them yet because her sister Gabby was already saying them all for her. When she started talking, it was ukabaka takapuku. And I said, she said, Meemaw, did you hear that? I was so ready to accept what she said. It really didn't matter what it sounded like to me. I just knew she was talking. And that's how it is when folks come to an altar and those strange sounds come out of their mouth. It doesn't really matter to me what it sounds like. I just want to hear them talking because I know they're being born again. It's important that they make noise. The breath of Jesus is coming into them. Hallelujah. And then they must go down in the water. Why do they have to do that? Because this old body can't live without a blood transfusion. Isn't that about the coolest thing you ever saw? I always wanted to be a nurse. Now my daughter's one. And she got me this from the hospital. No, she didn't. It's candy. You got awful quiet. I'm trying to keep some of you awake because I turned all the lights off. You see, when you go down in the water, a baptism, that's when you get your blood transfusion. You won't live without blood. People that come in and don't get baptized in Jesus' name, they don't make it. The blood is what is your life. You might breathe, you might speak with other tongues, but you got to have blood pumping through to live. He died on the cross so that we could have a blood transfusion. And so when you go down in that water, you are infused with royal blood. You got a donator, a donation. Now, this is not going to go. There we go. Oh, isn't that cool? Don't you wish you had that to hang on your porch for Halloween? So if you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you're still not living. You better run to the tank tonight. And say, wait a minute, I got the breath flowing through my body. I received the Holy Ghost. My bones came together and he breathed in me. But that's why I hadn't been able to give up my bad habits. That's why I'm having some trouble with this and that, because I hadn't had a blood transfusion yet. And once the blood comes in, it's pure and all the old goes out and you're able to lay down the cigarettes. You're able to give up the drugs. You're not going to have temper fits anymore. You're going to be able to have some help. Hallelujah. The old blood goes out and the new blood comes in. That's why we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you shall live and not die. Is there somebody in your life that you need to be prophesying. Not to them, but about them. I used to tell my kids, Sister Fiona, will you come? When they came home with some wild ideas. And they did. If you have perfect kids, I'm real happy for you. But even Sarah, as close to perfection as she is now, she gave her mama a hard time. I know you can't imagine that. All of my kids were very strong-willed, very smart. And sometimes they'd say things that knocked my socks off. I mean, I wanted to grab them and shake them and say, what are you thinking? I found out, don't ask unless you want them to tell you. And I found that the best thing for me to do is to plaster a big smile on my face. That's what I did. And I'd say, let me tell you something. I know what's in you. I know what's in you. And when you work through all this, it's going to rise to the top. And you're going to be okay. I have every confidence you're going to make it. You're going to be ready when Jesus comes. You know what I was doing, Brother Ben? I was prophesying. You shall live and not die. Bones, you're going to come together. Blood, you're going to pump through those veins. You're going to be ready when Jesus comes. I'm going to hear that cry out of your mouth. You are going to make it. There's somebody in your life you've given up on. You've talked to, you're blue in the face. Stop talking. But can they live? Lord, thou knowest. Tell you what I want you to do. Get on your knees and prophesy. Begin to say, can you're going in the name of Jesus. Body, obey your maker. Be whole in the name of Jesus. I have seen hundreds over the years of cancers healed. I have testimonies I have saved from people that we prayed for them in a revival like this and said, body, obey your maker. Cancer, be gone in the name of Jesus. I got a testimony this week. A woman that was going to have a mastectomy. She held my hands 2 weeks ago and wept. She hadn't told anyone. She was embarrassed. They'd done the biopsy. It was cancer. We prayed for her on the front steps of the church. Cancer, you have no place in this body. You go in the name of Jesus. Simple little prayer. A prophecy. What is to come? You shall live and not die. I got the email today. The doctors don't know what happened. It's gone. There's no surgery. The surgery's been canceled. It's gone. In the name of Jesus. About 6 weeks ago, I got a phone call. The young man said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I think I might be having a stroke. I had a dizzy spell and the side of my head is hurting really bad and my eye is giving me trouble on that side. My face feels numb. And I said, well, go to the ER. Don't, you know, just go right now. And I'm going to go into prayer. The young man called me before I could even get finished praying. They'd taken him straight back and man in his 20s said, we can't find anything wrong with you. Took some blood work. Called me frantic. The blood work shows high liver enzymes. He's a drinker. Something wrong with my liver. I'm too young to die. I want to live. prayed for him over the phone. The next 2 weeks, it's two of the hardest weeks I've ever been through in my life. Because this young man kept calling hour upon hour, even in the middle of the night. I'm scared. I'm gonna die. I can't get away from this thought. Something's wrong with my body. I know that I need to get back to God. I've been serving the devil, and I've been serving him well. I know I need to get back to God. Pray for me. A week later, he was back in the ER again. Symptoms similar and more. They took blood work again. All they found again was the high liver enzymes. We want you to see a family physician. You need some further testing done. There's definitely something wrong with your liver. We don't know about these other symptoms. What they didn't know is something that I knew. That young man got so frightened. He went home and he poured the alcohol down the drain. All of it in the house. He said, I'm never drinking again. He stopped cold turkey. I'm never drinking again. I got to get my heart right. Young man said, will you make me an appointment with your doctor? And I did that. The day of the appointment, he said, will you go with me? When I went in the doctor's office with him, we sat in there and waited for the doctor to come. And he paced the floors and he was trembling and he was nervous. And he kept hearing noises. And this had gone on for 2 weeks. He'd call me in the night. There's tapping going on in the room and it's driving me crazy. And I feel like the room's coming in on top of me and all kinds of strange things. And I told my husband about it. My husband said, honey, he's withdrawing. He's been doing some drugs. And I've never been exposed to that kind of thing. And I didn't know how to help him. I just plead the blood and I pray over him. And I prophesy to the bones. We sat in that doctor's office, and the doctor said, young man, are you a drinker? He said, yes, sir. How much do you drink? He said, at least 3 times a week to get completely drunk. He said, are you drinking now? No, sir. I poured it all down the drain. I haven't had a drink for 2 weeks. I'm embracing my family's faith. I'm getting back in church. The doctor said to my son, Tim, do you do drugs? Tim glanced over at me, and it was one of the most uncomfortable moments of my life. He said, yes, sir. I've been smoking weed every day for 3 years. Dr. York said, Tim, you're withdrawing. They'll tell you marijuana doesn't have symptoms like that. It does. You're withdrawing from drugs. He said, sir, I threw hundreds of dollars of drug paraphernalia out in the trash. I've come clean. I don't want to go to hell. The doctor said, Tim, you're doing the right thing embracing your family's faith. You follow your mom and dad and they'll help you. You're going to be all right, son. I'm concerned about your liver, however. We're going to take some tests for hepatitis. There's definitely something wrong. We left the doctor's office. Tim has a little girlfriend that he's been living with for 3 or 4 years. All of a sudden, she sees him pouring out and throwing out everything. She comes to me weeping. I don't know what we're going to do. I tried to minister to her. There were just no right words to say. But what I found out when I got alone in my prayer closet on my knees And I said, in the name of Jesus, Tim, you shall live and not die. Body, obey your maker. Liver, you be whole in the name of Jesus. You function the way you're supposed to function in the name of Jesus. Tim, you're going to be refilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You're going to do what God wants you to do. You're going to make heaven. I found a place just like Ezekiel did. Something that looked impossible. But I began to prophesy over the bones for the grand. 3 weeks ago, my son stood in the living room of our home after 14 years of sin, of playing in the rock band, of living for the devil, 14 years of prophesying to the bones. He stood in the living room between his dad and I with his hands raised, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Hallelujah. I say you shall live and not die. You shall live, backslider, and not die. You will make heaven in the name of Jesus. Tim called me a few days later. Mom, when the doctor called, I was too scared to answer the phone. I let it go into voicemail. It began to weep. He said, Mom, I want you to listen to this. Dr. York said, Tim, I don't know what's happened, son. But your liver's normal. Your blood work came back fine. There's nothing wrong with you, son. You're in good shape. Hallelujah. You shall live and not die. Prophesy over the bones tonight. What do you need from God? He's asking you, will you pray? Will you prophesy? Will you get in the Spirit and find that place of faith? And today, I got a text message after church. All my kids were in church today. The text message said all of them were speaking in tongues and worshiping. Hallelujah. All of them were worshiping the Lord. And Tim's little girlfriend, Jen, I started a Bible study with her this week. She sat with the tears running off her cheeks through the study. She said at the end of the first Bible study of Search for Truth about creation, she said, could you just tell me what this means to be baptized in Jesus' name? Be filled with the Holy Ghost, because I want it. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Now I want you to listen very carefully. Just play softly. What do you need? We're going to draw some imaginary lines again. One right up the middle here. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, tonight's your night. I want my altar workers to come and stand on the purple stripe across the front here. Come quickly. You know who you are. The Lord has shown me that there are some folks that you have the Holy Ghost, but it's been a while since you spoke with tongues and you need a little help. These people are trained to help you. They're not going to shake you or spit in your face or rattle you. They're just there to assist you. You don't have to be afraid. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't know what it is, they'll explain it to you. Or if you want it, you can have it right now. If you want a refilling, you can have it right now. Will you come? Step out of your seat. Somebody's got to be the leader. Come on. It's been a while for some of you. You want a refilling, a refreshing. Now, don't make me come back there and get you. You know I will. Thank you for coming, honey. Somebody else. I brought these people up so you wouldn't have to be alone when you came. There's some folks over here that need the Holy Ghost. Come on. I'm waiting. Right back here. Right back here. Could be your last chance. Oh, you're trying to scare me into it. You're right. I turned the lights down so I could scare you into it. I'll do anything to get you here. Because it is scary to think about not making heaven. Now, those of you that need a healing, and you're ready to claim it tonight, you're not coming whining about it. You're coming believing God for it. I want you to come and line up behind this group. Come quickly. Now, as they play, church, will you stretch your hands out towards the front? Come on, you need to get involved. Everybody needs to be a worshiper. Will you begin to worship in the Spirit? Will you begin to speak with tongues? Let the Lord use you right now.